you put things so beautifully earlier that when you said, is there anything left to say, we all laughed.
Can you, could you repeat that? Sorry.
I said you put things so earlier when you were speaking earlier that when you asked, is there anything left to say, we all laughed.
Yes.
And wholeheartedly laughed.
Yes.
But I'm left with the question, and I'll ask it for myself because I don't know how many other people feel that. Knowing that, why do I keep forgetting it and rediscovering it? Forgetting it and rediscovering it.
Okay, so is experience forgetting it? Is awareness forgetting it?
No.
Could awareness forget itself or not know itself?
Finally, no.
So who is the one that is apparently forgetting it? Who is the self that forgets and remembers?
The small I, I guess.
Not the small I, the imaginary I.
Oh, better, thank you.
There are not two I's, one real I and one a big I, a universal I, and then a small limited I. The apparently small limited I is the true and only I of awareness with an apparent veil, around it. It's like looking at a TV screen, and a landscape appears on the screen, and we say, oh, I'm no longer seeing the screen, I'm seeing the landscape. The screen is veiled by the landscape. It is no longer a screen, it is a landscape. The screen is not veiled. All we're seeing is the screen. We go up to it and touch it. We don't touch trees and fields. We touch the screen. The imaginary separate self is the imaginary landscape, which seems to veil the true and only self in the same way that the landscape seems to veil the only thing that is truly present, which is the screen. But even that seeming to veil the screen never actually takes place. But who does it take place for? Imagine now a person walks into the landscape. From the point of, on the film, yes? You've got a landscape. A person walks into the landscape. From the point of view of that person, there is no screen, there is a landscape. Yes? The person says, look at all these beautiful flowers. So for that person, there is a world, there is a landscape. But that person is an imaginary person. It's just made of the screen. Now the separate self is that imaginary person that thinks, it's just made out of thoughts and feelings, that thinks that it is autonomous, that it has an awareness of its own. The person that walks onto the screen says, the screen exists in me alone. And I am looking out there, out of the screen, at a landscape. From the point of view of this person on the film, that all makes sense. But the person is an imaginary person. The inside self is as imaginary as the outside world, the landscape. It's all only screen from the point of view of the screen, which is the only one that really has a point of view. Of course, it's not a point of view. So now to go back to your question, who is the one in your experience that is forgetting? Let's imagine experience of forgetting, yes? You've lost your car keys, you're late for work, you're in a terrible panic, your body and your mind are agitated, yes?
Sounds just like this morning.
Okay, perfect. So that's what we call the forgetting, yes? That will be a classic situation of, I have forgotten my true nature, I've forgotten the reality of experience. Okay, now go to that experience. What does it consist of? Thinking, sensing, and perceiving. Yeah? That's all that's there. Now, go back to the contemplation we did this morning. Is awareness veiled during the experience of thinking, sensing, or perceiving? Or is it the substance of all apparent thinking, sensing, and perceiving? What do you find when you reach in, like we did earlier, in your imagination, to try to touch the substance that sensing and perceiving is made of? What do you find there? just the knowing of it, just pure knowingness. Knowingness is not made out of keys or kitchen tables or newspapers or cars, yes? It's just made out of this transparent substance called myself. So what is veiled there? What is forgotten? Who is forgetting? The one that is forgetting is just a thought-made self, which is itself made out of the substance which is apparently being forgotten. That's how absurd this apparent forgetting of ourself is.
Yeah.
It never happens. If it did happen, then we would have to spend 30 years on our cushion. Then there would be a good case for disciplining the mind and the body and the world to try and bring back this forgotten awareness, this forgotten love. There would be a point of going out in search, in the not now, in time. But what can we do to get rid of an illusion? Nothing, because there's nothing there to do anything to. Just to see is enough. Understanding, by understanding, I don't mean intellectual understanding, I mean experiential understanding right now. And now is the only place it can, is the only place, and now is, the, sorry, here is the only place, now is the only time. This here, to see that this stuff that we long for all our life, whether we call it peace or happiness, it's the fabric of all experience, even the apparent forgetting, which is made out of thinking and sensing and perceiving. It's never forgotten. Awareness cannot not know itself. In fact, it never knows anything other than itself. And all this apparent stuff is a modulation, an apparent modulation of its own knowing of itself. That's why it never tries to escape from itself. There's nowhere for it to go. It's just more of itself wherever it turns. And this understanding plunges us into the now. It doesn't plunge us, an entity, into now. We just find ourselves totally now, not in the now, but as the now. There's not the slightest impulse to avoid, to resist, to seek. Who would be seeking enlightenment or happiness? What motive is there? Where would it go? All the seeking for happiness or enlightenment, they're just two names for the same thing, is always of an imaginary self. The light for which the imaginary self is seeking is the very knowing with which it does its seeking. It's the imaginary self is already made out of the light with which it looks. There's no true enlightenment. Light is already totally alight. Awareness is all that it ever could be right now. It's never going to become more aware or more present than it is now, more unlimited. Because it was never truly limited to begin with. It was only a thought that imagined that awareness shared the apparent limits of an apparent body-mind. It all takes place in a little thought bubble. So seeing this, understanding this in our experience, it totally undermines this fundamental presumption that we were speaking of earlier. The fundamental presumption that experience is comprised of two essential elements. And therefore, almost all our thinking, which was previously based upon this fundamental presumption, I and other, I and object, I and the world, it undermines all of that right at its root. Thinking, perceiving, sensing, acting, relating is still available relatively speaking. The body-mind is still available, but it no longer serves an imaginary thought and feeling made self. It begins to serve the only true self there is, which is presence. The body and the mind are used to express the innate qualities, if we can call them qualities, to express what we truly are, rather than expressing the neuroses and the fears and the anxieties of this imaginary self.
Thank you.